Oh, praise the Lord. Let's see here. For our final hymn this morning, prior to the message, let's open up to... Let me get the right number for you. Precious memories. 160, folks. We'll stand for hymn 160. Precious memories. Oh, that's what the Lord gives. Nothing like serving Jesus. Yes. Please be seated, church. Precious memories. Oh, I love that second stanza. Precious father, loving mother, fly across the lonely years, and old home scenes of my childhood in fond memory appears. Precious memories, how they linger. Oh, glory. Well, praise the Lord, folks. I'm so glad that... The Lord gives us such precious times in our lives as we serve Him. And let's grab our Bibles at this time and open up to Mark's Gospel this morning. Anybody need a pew Bible? Oh, good, good. You're all set with your Bibles. Got to have the sword in hand. In Mark chapter 7 this morning, little boy named David, he loved it. Every about once a month, his dad would take him to visit his grandpa. And the one thing he loved about his grandpa's house was that he had an old grandfather clock in the living room. And he'd love to watch the pendulum go back and forth, and especially on the hour when it would chime. And he loved that old grandfather clock. And then he got a little bit bigger, and he learned how to tell time, and he noticed that the time on the grandpa clock was never right. It was either always ahead of the time it's supposed to be, or always behind the time it's supposed to be. And he got a little bit older, and he got taller, and he looked on top of the grandfather clock. He noticed a sign that his grandfather had made and placed on top of the grandfather clock. And it read, "Don't blame my hands, the problem lies much deeper." Don't blame my hands, hands of the clock. The problem lies much deeper. What a beautiful illustration I said that would make for my message this morning. I want to speak to you on the most hideous discovery. the most hideous discovery, because the problem is not on the outside with mankind. The problem lies much deeper within. Look with me here in Mark chapter 7. A big controversy has arisen in Mark chapter 7 concerning what it is that makes a man unclean or defiled. See, Jesus' disciples were seen by the Pharisees, the religious crowd, eating bread with unwashed hands. So they accused them of being defiled, being unclean in the sight of God. And Jesus is about to explain to them that what you eat doesn't make you unclean. It's what's inside that will make a man unclean. I want to speak to you this morning on the most hideous discovery. In Mark chapter 7, look with me at verse 14. And when he, Jesus, had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, "Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats." And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Beloved, I want to speak to you this morning on a sermon I've entitled, "The Most Hideous Discovery." Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the word of Jesus here, words in red. And how we thank you that the Messiah came and taught the people that not that which entereth into the man defileth him, but that which cometh out of his evil heart. And oh God, I thank you this morning that there is a way of escape from the evil heart of the natural man. That you've given us a mode of escape, a way of coming out of the wickedness of this world and being saved and receiving a new heart from God within. Oh God, I pray that you would humble us today and show us our need for that new heart. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray, amen. Amen. Well, folks, our Lord here in chapter 7 is grieved over the religious leaders' hypocrisy and being so much concerned about outward cleanness and so little about inward cleanness, that is, purity within. He's trying to get them to see that defilement is not of the hands, but of the heart. And he is addressing all of the people. Look at verse 14. "And when he had called all the people." Now that's important, beloved. Because Jesus is saying, I want everyone to know and understand exactly what it is that makes a person unclean and unfit for heaven. It's a most hideous discovery. It's a horrific discovery when we find out that apart from Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, we are unclean. We are most defiled. Why? Because of the human heart, which is sinful by nature. Jesus unveils the key here to overcoming the wickedness from within. Let's examine this discovery, this most hideous discovery this morning, beloved, that has everything to do with the human heart. I see four things that Jesus gives us here that we must consider. The first is this. Jesus first calls our attention to a swarm of sins. Look with me in verse 21. A huge swarm. In verse 21, Jesus says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts." Notice the source, from the heart. "Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Wow. Notice the last three words, defile the man. From within. You can't blame the devil. You can't blame your sister. You've got to recognize the source of the problem is the human heart. We need a heart transplant, don't we? My, now, like a vast swarm of killer bees let loose, the Lord reveals here, like a dirty laundry list, the common sins of the human heart in all nations of the world. 13 deadly poisons are named in these verses, which truly defile the man. Now, first notice where the list begins. Verse 21, he says, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. It all begins in the mind. Listen carefully. Jesus is pointing the people to the source of the problem, which is an evil imagination. Without the Word of God, without the Spirit of God, we all would be evil. It's Him that makes us pure. It's He that sanctifies us, not we ourselves. Evil thoughts. All sins begin in the mind. And notice on the list that those who give in to evil thoughts ultimately become fools. Look at the last item, verse 22. What is it? Foolishness. Foolishness. It begins with evil thoughts and it ends up with a very foolish person. Why? They won't listen to God. Foolishness. David said, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Wow. Now listen, thinking contrary to God's mind and will and disputing with clear statements from God's own word is the first step in a descent which shall end in everlasting destruction. We've got to be so careful what we allow into our mind, into our thought process. Amen? In Galatians chapter 5, hold your place in Mark. Flip over to Galatians for a moment. Paul also gave us a dirty laundry list concerning the heart of man. In Galatians chapter 5, look with me at verse 19. Paul writes, now, the works of the flesh. He's comparing the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to the works of the flesh. Okay? Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've even told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Millennial kingdom context there. But notice that Paul gives a... Now, let me make a statement. Every human being, saved or lost, is capable of any one of these sins in Galatians 5. Did you know that? Did you know that there are Christians in the state penitentiary up in Concord? Oh, there's a whole bunch of them. Why? They violated God's law and got caught. Listen, folks, these sins are common to man apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, in his best-selling book entitled The Amazing Power of Positive Thinking, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale boasts that man is generally good, good, good by nature. He says that man is getting better and better all the time. And that we must view ourselves as noble and honorable creatures, deserving of God's favor and blessings. Oh, really? That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says the heart of man is desperately wicked and naturally sinful. It's evil. Yeah. Folks, don't let Dr. Norman Vincent Peale deceive you into thinking you're so good, good, good. Anything good in my life is because of God. Not because of me. Without God, I am nothing. I can do nothing. Without God, I am defiled and unclean and worthless. Without God. Why? Because of the most hideous discovery, the natural evil bent of the heart. Oh, folks, I'm so thankful that there is a way of escape. Jesus says we're sinful by nature and prone to these evil propensities. So first of all, he unveils a swarm of sins. But secondly, notice that Jesus shows us the nest from which they proceed. Notice the nest. Verse 20, back to our text in Mark chapter 7. And notice the nest from which these evil thoughts proceed, these evil deeds. In Mark chapter 7, look with me at verse 20. And he, Jesus, said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, etc., etc." Jesus says the nest from which these evil things flow is the human heart. Wow. How sad that most people in the world do not comprehend the fact that their heart is currently at enmity against God. I'm so glad I found that out. I'm so glad the Lord opened mine eyes one day and I saw that I was hell-bound and separated from Him because of my evil heart. And I repented of that. And He gave me a new heart, a heart to love Him, a heart to obey Him. Now, folks, listen. Now that we've seen these evil intruders, let's take a closer look at their den, which is the heart of man. Verse 23 says, "All these evil things come from within and defile the man." How many times have you heard this? Well, he certainly drank a little too much. And, you know, he did beat the wife occasionally. And, you know, he kicked the dog in the teeth. And, you know, he was a rascal. But he was a good man deep down inside. He had a good heart. How many times have you heard that? Man, I want to tell you, these folks are absolutely blind to the truth that Jesus reveals here. He's not a good man and he doesn't have a good heart. He's a wicked, hell-bound sinner. And somebody needs to tell him so he might get saved. Don't whitewash sin, folks. Listen now, modern-day evolution teaches the doctrine of evolution. Listen, it teaches that the new birth in Christianity is actually a gradual development of that which is naturally good within the heart of man. That's what they teach. They teach that we're getting better and better, gooder and gooder. Oh me, oh my. How foolish. Go to Jeremiah 17. Hold your place again in Mark. Jeremiah, major prophet, and boy, he was the weeping prophet because of the sins of God's people against which he preached. In Jeremiah chapter 17, you want to see the truth, what God's word says about your heart? Look at it. In Jeremiah chapter 17, look with me at verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now folks, let me make a statement before we continue reading. All people's hearts depart from the Lord until either they get saved or they die. That's the natural bent of the human will, is to depart. In Job, somewhere in Job it says, "Depart from us, O Lord. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways." And what profit do we have if we pray unto him anyway? That's most people's attitude toward God. Depart from me. Get away from me. They don't want God stepping on their sinful lifestyle. Drop down to verse 9. The heart is what? Deceitful. You know that your own heart can deceive you? Oh yeah, it's happened to me many times. I can vouch for that. Look at it. Why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things. Wait a minute. Above all things? Yep, that's what he said. He's trying to warn you and me against trusting in our own feelings, in our own hearts. Look at it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Not good, 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 Dr. Peel. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Listen. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a what? Fool. a fool. Listen, God is saying here in these verses through Jeremiah's pen that the man who trusts his own heart is a fool. But I'm so glad. Look at verse number 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Listen, folks, I'm so glad that God knows my heart. He knows your heart. He knows what's in there. And he knows how to make it right. Amen? He's the one who can do something about it. Dr. Phil? Won't work. Oprah? No way. Shirley MacLaine? You need God. You need a heart transplant. So, we see clearly, brethren, that regeneration has to be much more than just a reformation or a renovation of one's character. It requires a new heart. Scripture describes regeneration as a brand new creation of God, where he creates something in you that was not there before. Are you listening? It's not the cleansing of the carnal mind, but the implantation of a spiritual nature that makes the difference. You need a new heart. Because till man sees the evil of his own heart, he or she won't get saved. Oh, man. You know why God destroyed the old world? Go to Genesis chapter 6 real quick. Hold your place in Mark. And go to Genesis chapter 6. You know that the Lord flooded the entire world, killing all but 8 people. That's Noah and his family. Noah, he found faithful. One man and his family. In Genesis chapter 6, look what happens here. Why did God destroy the world? I'll tell you why. It has to do with the heart of man. The heart of man. It hasn't changed in 6,000 years. Look at it. Genesis 6 verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Time out, church. Before we continue reading, notice that when man's heart is filthy and defiled before God, it grieves God's heart. Notice that, Christian. That'll give you incentive to sanctification. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was one man in all the world that God looked at and saw a clean heart. And he said, that's the one I'm going to use. That guy right there loves me. He fears me. I'm going to give him the Noahic covenant, and I'm going to make a new race of humans that will fear me. Oh, folks, I'm here to tell you that he destroyed the world because of the evil of the human heart. Dr. Wilbur Simeon was 90 years old when he won the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes worth $10 million. That's in 1947, a long time ago. Listen, his family was afraid to tell him that he had won because of his bad heart condition. He might have a heart attack and keel over. So they asked the pastor to go to Dr. Simeon and break the news to him nonchalantly. So the pastor said, Wilbur, what do you think you would do if someone was to give you $10 million? Old Wilbur paused and he said, well, preacher, the first thing I'd do is give half the money to the church. The preacher had a heart attack and died. Sorry about that. But folks, I give half the money to the church, preacher. He killed over and died. Folks, listen. You know, the problem is the nest from which they flow is the human heart. But something else you must see this morning. Jesus reveals the defilement which is caused by the coming out of these evil things. Back to our text in Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, notice the defilement which is caused by these coming out of these evil things out of the heart. Look at verse 23. Jesus says, words in red, all these evil things come from within. And what?
Defile
the man. Jesus says, if these things are not altered, modified, changed in some supernatural way, that person will die in a state of defilement and separation from God forever. Isn't that sad? Now listen, while these seeds of evil lie deep within us in a dormant state, there's always exists the potential for them to grow and break forth into our lives, causing unspeakable defilements and uncleannesses, making us unfit for God's service. Look at verse 14. And when he, Jesus, had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile him. Jesus says, boys, you don't have to go and drink a gallon of whiskey. You don't have to go and take some drugs. You don't have to commit some sexual sin to be defiled. The problem is your heart has already defiled you. You need a new one. Don't you love how Jesus Christ points to the very source of the problem? The human heart. Oh man, I love that. Jesus doesn't whitewash sin. He tells it like it is. Go to the book of Revelation real quick. Or just go to the last page of your Bible. And you'll be in Revelation 21. Just before the final chapter. Revelation 21. Look at this verse. In Revelation 21, here's a promise concerning heaven. Verse 27. Revelation 21, 27. And there, speaking of heaven, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Listen, folks, the Bible says in the closing verses of the scripture that anyone who's defiled cannot enter heaven. Wow. That seems to me to include most people. Yup. Isn't that sad? Why? Because that man is naturally defiled until salvation occurs. If it occurs. Now, this brings us to our main point. We have a problem. We are an immortal being trapped in a physical body. We will spend all of eternity somewhere. We want that to be heaven, but it can't be because of the evil heart. So listen. What the man out of whose heart these evil things proceed is defiled before God. And this uncleanness prevents him or her from coming into God's holy presence, from being with him in heaven. A breach of communion now separates between the creature and its creator because it's defiled. You see that? Now, many years ago, in preparations for beginning a great revival, a tent meeting in a large city, famed evangelist Billy Sunday wrote a letter to the mayor of that city in which he asked for a list of the names of individuals that he knew who had spiritual problems and needed help in prayer. How surprised was Billy Sunday when he received from the mayor a city directory of all the residents of that city? Yeah, that's because they all had some problems. Folks, listen, we all have problems. We all have spiritual needs that only Jesus Christ can meet. Amen? That man was pretty wise. He said they all need Jesus. Yeah, including me. Oh, folks, that they all had the same problem, and that problem was heart trouble. But I see one last thing this morning. One last thing that Jesus shows us here, finally. Jesus shows us the only cure for this evil. The only cure for this evil heart. Go back to Mark chapter 7 and notice the cure. In Mark chapter 7, look at verse 5. Verse 5, Mark 7, 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. 4, laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Verse 13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, your religion, which ye have delivered in many such like things you do. Jesus Christ here puts his finger on the answer for the evil heart of man. It's the word of God, verse 13. See it? They laid aside the word of God and they weren't saved. Let me make a statement. You cannot reject this Bible and be saved. They go hand in hand. Because the incarnate word is now the written word, and it's the word of God. It lives. You can't reject. It's this living book. Now, beloved, notice how Jesus tries to give these Pharisees the very cure that they needed for what was plaguing them, an evil heart. They had become unclean and defiled within, in the heart, because they had forsaken the word of God. And counted their own way of doing things, their own tradition, their own religion, more important than God's word. I came out of a religion when I was 27 years old, thank God, 30 years ago, 28 years old. And that religion taught me that the word, the papal word, was more important than the word of God. You know what that is? That's a lie. The word of God overrides any human being's word. Listen, the simple truth is that only God's word has the ability and the power to drive out the uncleanness and defilement from the heart of man, and to make clean the inner part. Jesus said, sanctify them, Father, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Ephesians 5:26, don't turn there. Paul said that he might sanctify, talking about you, the church, and cleanse us with the washing of water by the word. By the word. By the word of God, your heart can be made clean. Now, go to Ezekiel chapter 36 and look at the cure for the evil heart of man. It's not what you might think. It's not a renovation. In Ezekiel chapter 36, the prophet by the Holy Ghost is going to give you and I the answer for our evil heart. I am so glad for these verses. Look at it. It's a prophecy of what he would do for his people. Ezekiel chapter 36. Look with me, and don't miss this, at verse 25. God is speaking now. Not Ezekiel. God. Verse 25. Then, whenever the then is, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And notice who's doing the cleansing. Not you. look at it. 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Notice who is modifying the heart. And it's not by renovation. It's not by reparation. It's by transplantation. Notice in verse 26, a new heart will I give you. You know why I'm here today, preaching God's word? Because he gave me a new heart. He gave me a heart to love his son supremely in my life. He gave me a heart to love his people. He gave me a heart to love this book supremely. Nothing comes before this book in my life. And I'm telling you this morning, folks, that without the heart transplant that only God can give through his son, we cannot be healed or cured from the evil heart that we have. Oh me, oh my. I love the fact that in verse 25, he says, boys, I'm going to sprinkle some clean water upon you. It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God being washing us and cleansing us. Look at that word, that last word in verse 25. I will cleanse you. Oh, it's so good. Folks, God's cure for the sinful heart of man is not repairing it, but replacing it with a brand new one. Listen, God's cure is a spiritual heart transplant. And that is what He does for every single soul that will come to Jesus Christ. He gives us a heart to know Him. Wow! A man named Clyde Tombaugh became a renowned astronomer when on February 18th, 1929, after months of searching constellations, galaxies, and star clusters in outer space, he discovered the planet Pluto, just in 1929. Listen, I don't know if Tombaugh was a believer or not, but I do know one thing. All the years that he spent looking way far out into space, what he really needed to do was look deep within his own heart. Every human being must come to the point where they honestly and openly and intelligently search their own heart and see what is really there. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for Jesus Christ and the new heart that he gives. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the most hideous discovery. It's the evil heart of man. What a humbling message this morning, Lord. How we thank you that salvation, regeneration, it's all what you do for us and in us. That's it. There's nothing we can do to change our sinful heart. Lord, I am so glad that when one soul puts his or her faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ performs a spiritual heart transplant. I am so thankful for that this morning, Lord. And I am so thankful for those listening around the world that any soul, man, woman, boy, or girl, listening to this message, you can receive a new heart through Jesus Christ. All you've got to do is come to Jesus Christ, recognizing your own sinfulness and asking Jesus Christ to forgive you for your sin and to give you a brand new heart, to give you His Holy Spirit, to wash you in His precious blood, and to regenerate your soul. Oh, I'm so thankful, Lord, today that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so glad I'm a whosoever. I'm so glad that one day I came and Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will give you a new heart. I will cure you of your evil heart and give you a brand new one. Lord, we thank you for the message this morning. We pray that as a result, a harvest, a multitude of precious souls would come to salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive that new heart you've prepared for him or her. In Jesus Christ's name, the people said, amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. And we will sing one as a time of invitation. Oh, yes. Let's get the number here for you for this hymn I really love. Hymn number 40. You know that one of these days, those of us who have trusted in the Lord Jesus, we're going to fly away up yonder to be with Him. So shall we ever be with the Lord? I want to sing about that this morning. Hymn number 40, I'll fly away. And so will you. Praise the Lord. I'll fly away and serve you more. the Lord, people. How we look forward to that day. We'll go up yonder to be with the Lord. No more pain. No more suffering. No more tears. No more sorrow. Nothing but eternal joy and glory in the presence of the King who gave us our new hearts. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for Jesus Christ, our Master. Lord, I thank you that he is seated. Where? On the throne of our hearts. And when Jesus Christ comes in and sits upon the throne of the heart of man, he takes over. We're so thankful for that. Amen. Lord, we wouldn't have it any other way. We love you today and we pray that you'd use this message to reach out to the ends of the earth. Lord, that we'd meet souls in heaven one day. Lord, that we will greet them and thank them for listening and receiving the King as their own personal Savior. Bless us as we're dismissed, Lord. Bring us back tonight at 6. And Lord, how we look forward to tonight as we begin a brand new series of studies from the Bible concerning the Shekinah glory of God in history and in prophecy. It's going to be wonderful. We thank you for your word. We love you, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks.